was, what process did Israel actually have to go through before in order to declare war?
Look, it's like most of the parliamentary system. Israel or the Knesset, the parliament, gave the government the power to declare war. In the last, let's say, 20, 30 years, what happened is the government gave the security cabinet the authorization to declare war. The security cabinet was usually contained the prime minister, defense minister, justice minister, foreign minister, and at least two or three more other ministers. So it was usually about seven ministers. So the idea was that they need to change the law in order to basically update it to the current situation, which is the cabinet, the security cabinet can declare war, and also, you know, to update the whole idea, because nowadays, you know, countries do not declare war anymore. So the idea started with that, which was just empowering the cabinet instead of the government to give them the power to declare war. But then it's shifted, and if you want, I can talk to you more about how it's really shifted to the point that we are here today.
Well, I guess that is my next question, the shift that we're actually seeing, because obviously this follows the Iran presentation that Netanyahu made earlier this week. So why have they made this decision?
That's a tough one. I don't know why, but it certainly was Netanyahu's demand. So basically, when you take a law to Knesset, to the parliament, it has to be formed in a committee. So they created a subcommittee to actually create this law, which will empower the cabinet, the security cabinet, to declare war. And they were all under the same opinion that to get the cabinet the authority to declare a war in a certain majority. And it was the opposition opinion and the coalition opinion, the coalition representative in the subcommittee. Netanyahu started to pressure to change the laws, that it will be only the prime minister and the security, the minister of defense. But the committee did not permit that. Eventually, with some manipulation, they took it to the chamber of the parliament, to the Knesset, and they eventually took the prime minister's suggestion. It's very dangerous in the Israeli context. It's a very dangerous solution, because throughout the history of Israel, at least four or five different prime ministers were actually the prime minister and the minister of defense. It started with the first prime minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, that didn't want to release the army from his wings. So traditionally, it's been at least 20 or 30 years that in Israel we had only one person that took both titles. So in some circumstances, not today, it can be a decision, a one-man decision, which led for a huge criticism surrounding this move. Just yesterday, the former defense minister from Netanyahu's party, was in Netanyahu's party, the Likud party, just a couple of years ago, called Netanyahu action Ardenization, like Ardoğan, the president of Turkey. So some kind of totalitarian move, or moving towards some kind of less democratic government.
Consolidating his power, as it were.
Yes, definitely.
Now, as we mentioned again, the Iran sort of inverted commas revelations that Benjamin Netanyahu produced earlier this week from Israeli intelligence, by and large, people are saying, well, for one, we knew it was an open secret before the country signed on to the 2015 deal that Iran was developing some sort of nuclear program. That's why they wanted the deal in the first place. And there was nothing in those revelations that sort of indicated that Iran was actually in breach since the signing of the agreement in 2015. Given this, how high are tensions between Israel and Iran that Benjamin Netanyahu would be producing this kind of, well, evidence and making these kind of decisions and demands?
Look, I think this, first of all, as you mentioned in the beginning, it was an archive that had been taken from Iran. It was fantastic intelligent work, taking half a ton of intelligence documents from Iran, but it was an archive. So it's, as far as we know, it was mainly talking about the past and before the signing of the agreement. The tension with Iran at the moment, I think, is more, you can see it more frequent in the border, in Syria, not in the border, but in Syria, that Israel declared that already confessed to bomb at least twice or three times in the last couple of months Iranian bases in Syria. So the immediate danger is actually not from the Iranian nuclear program, it's more the Iranian placement in Syria itself, which for Netanyahu, he already declared it, for the Israeli government, is a red line.
Well, Shahar, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your insight into this one this morning. Obviously, a tense situation. Really do appreciate your time.
No worries at all. Have a good morning.